Also, that was Mariano's first career pickoff at second base of a runner. So that had never happened before.
Wow.
And that's according to the Pinstripe Bible, one of my blogs, one of my favorites I like to go to.
Welcome to the Pinstripe Alley podcast, the podcast that, well, David Cohn loves. We're just going to get right into it right now because it's the most important topic of this podcast. David Cohn gave us a shout-out on the air. He loves us. Thoughts? Introducing co-host Tanya, Jason, Andrew. Hi, everyone. Talk about David Cohn. Go.
He loves us.
Yes.
He loves you and I the most.
Well, yeah, obviously.
David Cohn, if you're listening, you should add me on Twitter. You should follow me and then like me on Facebook, friend me, and
MySpace
me.
Add me to your top 8.
You should call me.
Just to go out for drinks?
Just call me, go out for drinks. It's okay. It'll be fun. It'll be a good time.
Now we never get mentioned again because he went and got a restraining order. I was really zoning out until I heard the words Pinstripe Bible, and then I was just like, what?
Well, what's so funny, I was fully listening to it because he was mentioning Luis Soho, and he followed up by mentioning his commercial with Luis Soho, the classic, "Hey, Coney, why don't you have a dance?" Which is, I mean, and I'm not, this isn't Cone fanboying, it's seriously one of my favorite commercials of all time. Every time I see Coney in the bathroom,
he's doing the baby shark
with the cone on his head and wrestling sensation. What was it, Brett Lesnar, I think? But that look he has on his face while he's trying to keep cool about what he was doing, it gets me every time I've seen it, and I've seen it about 500 times.
500 times.
You know, I was listening to that, and then he, you know, mentions the Mariano tweet about how that was his first pickoff as a second base ever. And then he mentioned our name. I was like, what?
Yeah, I saw that he had... I saw that he favorited it before he mentioned it.
Whoa.
So I had a hunch that he might say something, because I was like, well, maybe he's just favoriting it just because. But then when he started saying, like, check it out in the blogs, I was like, maybe, yes!
It gets you right in the feels! Right in the feels!
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yes.
So all we right. Love you, Coney.
Yes, thank you, Coney, for the shout-out. We love you. You really, really need to be in the Yes booth more, please. Listening to you talk about stats and stories and everything just makes Yes broadcast so much better.
You are invited onto the podcast.
And hey, yeah, if you're not doing anything one day...
We have a standing invite to the...
We'll come to you.
Like,
just let us know.
We'll hike, drive, crawl, Humbler.
Ride the Humbler.
We will humble our way there.
Hop on.
Out of the way, Chamberlain.
All right. Well, now that we've got the most important topic out of the way of David Cohn's shout-out, the Yankees are winning again, and winning like they should be winning. Home runs, scoring runs, offense, decent pitching. I mean, Pettit today pitched pretty well for... Andy Pettit. I don't care if it is the Blue Jays lineup. He still, you know, did his job. So let's talk about the Yankees winning. Waffles, go.
Winning is fun.
Yes. All right.
I enjoy it. It's better than losing. Yeah. I generally feel better in the feels after they win than after they lose.
Analysis.
That is analysis. You're welcome.
Here's the thing, too. Even if they lose, they're not losing... with the likes of Reed Brignac playing the shortstop or, you know, just one of
Chris
the
Nelson.
11 third basemen we've had.
Alberto Gonzalez.
There you go. So it's not, if they're going to lose, I'm glad they're losing with decent players, but they're not losing. They're winning.
Yay.
That's pretty nice.
Woohoo!
That happened.
It's like you can't even imagine that this is like, has been one of the worst teams in baseball for like majority of the year, and now they're like the best team in baseball right now.
Like, think about what would it would have happened if they had had, you know, the normal players back even a month earlier.
Yeah,
even Phil Hughes has pitched well in his last two starts.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I said I will take, you know, the occasional dinger from Hughes if he just goes seven innings and only gives up two runs. Even three is not even that terrible. Because now we actually have the offense to overcome Phil Hughes-ness, his Hughesicity, if you will.
Yeah, now they're like scoring five runs per game, it seems like, at least, and they've been doing better than that for several of the last
games. And I think one of the key lessons of this is really, I think, that we can now officially blame whatever happens this year on injuries. Because look at what this team is doing with, and they're not even at full strength, you know, but look at what this team is doing with at least a competent offense. As in, we're not batting Chris Stewart fifth anymore, because that happened this year.
You're right.
I think I just...
Why did you have to remind us of that?
Because...
They won one of the games last week. They won against the Angels. They won 14-7. And it's just like, they wouldn't have won a game where they gave up seven runs earlier this year.
They wouldn't have won a game where they gave up four runs earlier this year.
Two runs.
One.
One run.
They could possibly lose a 0-0 tie.
They scored 25 runs in two games.
It's pretty nuts.
It's refreshing. And again, they're hitting home runs. I mean, I'll be the first to say it. Thank you, Brian Cashman, for bringing back Soriano.
Yeah. I mean,
he's been great.
He's there to do one thing, dingers. And it's what we need. And
he's been so much better than I thought he would ever be.
Yeah.
And points at people
and
when he rounds the base.
That was great. That was fantastic. A bit arrogant, but yeah.
What did he point at? What happened?
He pointed at the crowd as he was rounding the bases.
Nice.
My reaction was like, oh, I'm in an 0-for-17 slump. Sorry about that. Boom. Gone. Hey, you're beautiful.
Just kidding.
did it for you.
Yeah, but
not you in the Boston hat.
He has a 589 slugging percentage since coming back to the Yankees. And he's already totaled more FWAR in 24 games than he did in 93 with the Cubs.
Wow.
Wait, 93? Yeah. Oh, 93 games with the Cubs. I think 1993. I was like, wait a minute, that's impossible.
Wait a minute. Time travel.
The math doesn't add up.
Well, he did say that the Yankees were the only team that he wanted to go back to, so...
Welcome back. Thanks, dude.
Thanks for waving that no-trade clause.
But, you know, Corey Black,
vital part of the future.
The future. Vital.
Welcome to the world of tomorrow.
Like, best of luck to Corey Black, but I mean, he's worth giving up just to try.
He's Corey Black. That's all you really need.
Yeah, is he worth giving up just to try to take a flyer on Soriano? And it turned out, you could probably make a good argument that he's the best trade deadline acquisition that anyone's made.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
How much of an impact has he already had on this team? I mean, it's ridiculous.
There was someone tweeted earlier today or yesterday, I'm not sure which one, that...
Which is it?
I don't know that, like, seven of his home runs have come when the team was losing, like, to get them ahead or something.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy. I don't know what it was now, but it was something.
It was something.
It was something about the clutchness of his home runs.
The clutchosity.
I was just going to say that. God damn it.
Ha-ha! Hosting powers. But yeah, I'm real happy to have him back. You know who else I'm happy to have back? Granderson.
Yep.
He went deep today.
Again, like, boy, that was a nice
revenge,
shot, too. What a bomb.
Revenge on J.A. Happ for breaking his arm.
Revenge is a dish best served cold. And despite the fact that it's still summer, revenge is still sweet.
Like, you break my arm, I'll break your game.
Break you.
I must break you.
To the end. All right, we're quoting Ivan Drago now. But it's really good to have Granderson back. You know, he's still, you know, he's not as good of a center fielder as Gardner is, but he still has solid speed in the outfield, so.
Yep.
And hey, Brett Gardner's still doing well.
Well, he's been slumping a little bit lately, but.
You shut your mouth. You shut your mouth.
Never.
Get those stats out of here.
Spooky numbers.
I don't like your math. Your math is supposed to tell me how good Gardner is.
Wait, pause. I found the tweet.
Okay.
Five of Soriano's nine home runs since joining the Yankees have given them the lead.
Clutchosity.
It's pretty impressive.
Your move, Jeter. Ball's in your court, Jeter.
Those are some clutch dongs.
Okay, no. No. No.
What? What?
No.
The title of this podcast was not David Cohn approved. It would definitely be Clutch Dongs.
Anyway.
A-Rod.
Yep.
Yep.
So, do you think A-Rod likes those Clutch Dongs? No.
I think having A-Rod back in the lineup, even though he's been kind of like, you know, you hear all the sniping from the legal teams back and forth, it's definitely been a real boon to their team, and they've gotten a lot more, you know, lineup protection can be kind of whatever at times, but you can definitely see a difference in that people are actually pitching to Cano, which, you know, they just weren't doing.
And look what Cano is doing. He's just like...
Cano is playing like a man who wants to get paid.
Fork for Cano.
Give him the money. All of it.
The Yankees need to be the ones to pay the man.
Well, hey, Dodgers said they weren't paying the man.
We'll see if that's just posturing by the Dodgers. But, I mean, I'm not really sure if they could possibly, because they still need to load up the dump truck of money for Kershaw, because he's going to make even more money than Cano, possibly.
Kershaw's going to get paid.
He is.
Mega paid.
Yes. But as A-Rod has definitely been really good, and he had that really nice play at third base today, too. I mean, he hasn't looked terrific in the field. I mean, there's been a few pasta-diving A-Rods, but... that played today, he scooped the ball at third, I stepped on third and threw to first and got him. Got Laurie, I think, right?
Got him.
Yeah, it was a beautiful double play. Mm-hmm. And again, like, people are pitching around, or they can't pitch around Cano, because A-Rod, you know, while have been a bit streaky with the bat, he's still hitting and he still shows the power every now and then, so, and especially with him and Soriano. Again, thank you, Cashman, for going out and getting Soriano back. Can't stress that enough.
Well, I guess you probably can't talk about A-Rod right now without talking about what happened in Boston on Sunday.
All right, yeah, let's get that over with, because I almost forgot that happened, to be quite honest. Yeah, Dempster's a dick, I'll say it.
The Ryan Dempster fire of 2013.
Well, let me see if I can put this in the best of terms possible. When John Kruk of ESPN's Sunday Night Baseball is saying you did something stupid, then that's all that really needs to be said on the matter.
Yeah, I think that's safe to go by.
I have never liked Joe Girardi quite so much as I did when he was just losing his mind on Brian Onora.
Oh my God, that, and the interview afterwards was a thing of beauty. I was just like, hire him right now. Fire him and then rehire him to a 7-year contract.
It was beautiful.
Retire his number right now.
I love that he's calling out the fans too. I was like, oh my God, he's insulting the Boston fans. I love you, Joe.
Exactly. It was amazing.
But I like
And Brett Gardner, he had to be held back.
I know. And look what he did. He's it's like, dribble. You know what? Yeah. And that was almost a grand slam.
Except he says Dempster gave up 7 runs tonight. So how about that?
I loved like, A-Rod's home run trot afterwards.
Oh my God, that was great. His celebration plate.
He should have crab walked with his middle fingers in the air.
No, he should have just he shouldn't even like flip the bat, just drop it like a mic. Just drop the bat like a mic. That's
he should
going
have
out.
Carried it around the bases with him and then dropped it on home plate and walked off.
Looked at Dempster and says, I said, look at Dempster, just go, oh that's going out.
Oh, that's out. That's done. That is done.
Go like Dave Chappelle playing Rick James. It's a celebration, bitch! That was cold-blooded.
That homer was, I think they said, the longest home run hit by a Yankee this year, and he just demolished it to center field.
That was crushed.
Yeah. And now it's all like, the Red Sox awoke the dragon. Which I can only think of as Game of Thrones, but...
Nice. This is a little nerdy.
Do you want to wake the dragon?
Yes,
if that's
that
what it takes to get them fired up, then whatever.
I mean, they're doing a pretty good job of getting fired up, it seemed like, in the games before then, too, when they took 2 out of 3from the Tigers, then pretty much pummeled the Angels. And
you know who we have to thank for that, too? Brett Gardner. See? See? Screw your math. Your facts.
It's pretty exciting. And, I mean, you know, what seemed impossible a couple weeks ago. I mean, it's still a long shot, but it's not impossible anymore.
Well, Boston, correct me if I'm wrong, but they faltered before when it comes to the stretch.
They have.
You know, pretty major falter.
The curse of the Andy now. Which was
still
the best night that has ever been
a night.
I'm pretty sure that once Scott Proctor, someone told Scott Proctor that the Orioles just walked off, and he's just like, screw this game. Well, here you go. Here you go, Longoria. Have a cookie.
Just throw it over the fence. Just
here. Flip.
I think that's Scott Proctor's last major league pitch, too.
Good.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I love him.
Go down in history.
With an exclamation point.
With an exclamation point.
But, no, it's possible. And again, I'm still calling first. They're going to sweep the Rays. They're going to destroy the Orioles.
God, that's going to be so funny if they do that.
Oh, if they make first, it's the greatest year ever.
Yeah, it was looking really grim after they got swept by the White Sox in Chicago, and they were 7 games behind the wild card and only a game over 500. It's like, well.
But think about that, like, over 7 against the White Sox and the Mets. Yeah. That's what has killed them.
Yeah.
Like, an inexcusable.
Of course, conversely, they've gone like 12-1 against the Blue Jays, which is pretty, even though the Blue Jays are terrible, that's pretty ridiculously good.
Yeah, they've earned their soul.
Thanks, Canada.
But think of, like, if they had just kind of broken even against the Mets and the White Sox.
But again, look at the, go back to the injuries, look at the teams they were fielding. Again, I think Chris Stewart batted 5th against those teams.
No.
Well, not in the recent games against the White Sox. That was with most of their
A-Rod.
I think they didn't have Granderson yet, but still they had A-Rod in the lineup. Get granted a rusty A-Rod, but
I don't think they had Soriano back or Soriano yet, did they?
No, they did. That was in August.
Okay. Alright, there is no excuse.
Yep. They've also gone 1-5 against the A's, but the A's are actually a good team, so
the A's are a legit team, actually.
Yep.
Well, the A's are actually falling apart. They're, like, sinking.
Well, the Orioles just got swept by the Diamondbacks, so the Yankees really need to take advantage of that next weekend.
I just looked. We're only 3.5 games back behind the wildcard leader.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought
it was 4 or 5. We're 3.5.
Yeah.
Well, not the wildcard leader, the second wildcard.
The second wildcard.
Whatever.
Doesn't matter.
Stupid system. The point is, there's more of a chance than there was.
We really need to pass the Indians, because then at that point, it's the Rays and the Orioles, and that's very much in their own hands.
Yeah.
They gained half a game on the Indians today because they didn't play.
That's good. They just have to keep gaining on the Indians.
The Indians have to just not play, and then the Yankees catch up to them.
So who's playing? Let's see who's playing. I mean, we're playing the Rays.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the Orioles are playing the Athletics, who, you know, there's a shot there. Boston's playing the Dodgers, and hopefully the Dodgers continue their hot streak. Who are the Tribe? The Tribe are playing the Twins. Damn.
Well, the games against the Rays are worth 2 games, because a win for the Yankees and a loss for the Rays would swing it.
If we sweep this series, that would be huge.
If they sweep this series, that would be insane. Who pitches for the Rays?
Archer. It's Archer versus Kuroda.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And Archer
has owned their soul.
Archer threw a shutout last time. That was like a really miserable game that the Yankees played.
Yeah, because Nova was so good.
But remember, we now have a competent lineup.
It's true.
Yeah, the.
Anything's possible.
The 3 games are Kuroda against Archer, CeCe against Price, and Nova against Cobb.
Speaking of that, I just, again, another shout-out to Joe Girardi. Brilliant idea starting Warren.
Pushing Kuroda back.
Yeah, pushing Kuroda. But that was a genius move, I think. When I first heard that, I was like, why would he do that? I was like, oh, wait a minute, it would be to push Kuroda back so you have your best starters against the team you really need to beat, and you take your chances with the shitty Blue Jays. With Warren, Huff, and it worked.
Holy crap, yeah, David Huff.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was ridiculous.
I was in the gym today and I saw the SportsCenter top plays, and obviously David Huff played the first base, was number 1, as it should have been. That was incredible.
Yeah, that's going to be on the gifts of the week.
Damn right it is. If only we had a helmet one to go somewhere. But yeah, great job, David Huff. You have definitely earned a second look.
You can stay.
Indeed.
You know who can go? Java?
Java can go.
Java needs to go, like, 3 months ago.
I mean, he couldn't even be trusted in a blowout to complete an inning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bringing...
I mean, that shows...
You have to bring in Rivera, right?
Right.
It's to the point where it's sentimentality. Like, they can't give up... You can't just cut ties with Java. It's Java. It's like, no one likes Java. Like, what are they holding on to?
Cut him, like he was in Oz.
You know, honestly, like, I talked about this, like, a month ago, I feel that, like, he's not good. No one likes him. So what are they holding on to?
They're not going to get anything for him.
They're not going to get anything for him. They're not going to offer him arbitration or qualifying offer or whatever the hell they do now.
Qualifying offer.
The only, I was just thinking, why are they keeping him? The only logical reason I can think of, and it does, still doesn't make any sense, is that they don't want to DFA him so that one of their rivals can pick him up and have him
pitch
for
him. Oh,
no, he might help them from another team.
No, as I said, it makes no sense. It's the only thing I can
he
think
might
of.
Magically become a different pitcher. Like, what?
Yeah, it makes no sense. I don't know why they're keeping him.
It must be the same reason why the Giants continue to start, like, Barry Zito. They're afraid that someone else will pick him up and he'll be good. Like, it's not going to happen.
You do realize, I can't stress this enough, Chad Gaudin is a starting pitcher on the Giants right now. That's how far that team has fallen.
Yes.
And I had, oh my god, last week, I had the Giants-Marlins game, the 14-10 debacle. Chad Gaudin could not be trusted with an 8-run lead. He almost blew it.
He almost blew an 8-run. How do you almost blow that? Like, there's no almost.
Because you're Chad Gaudin. But yeah, the Yankees. I told Waffles last night, but if they do wind up in first, I will be writing what I call the boast post on Pinstripe Valley. Yes, because I called them taking first. And I've never wavered from that.
So anyway, how about Mark Reynolds?
Yeah, how about Mark Reynolds?
Okay.
I heard this person say one time that they just got him to play Boston.
Yeah. That's weird. That handsome, devilish rogue.
He did hit a home run over that big green wall.
Well, his first at-bat was the Yankee.
But yeah, they had been looking for a right-handed platoon, finally found one that they could have for nothing.
Yeah, and he's a perfectly suitable platoon partner for Overbay, because Overbay is totally helpless against lefties, and Mark Reynolds can play first base and even third base in a pinch, so, you know.
In a super pinch.
Hey, he made a really good play third one day. Was it the doubleheader?
Broken clock is right twice a day.
I'm just saying, you know, minor pinch.
Also with Reynolds, Progressive Fields kills right-handed hitters. And that could possibly, I mean, I don't know what his home and away splits were. I know that he kind of stopped hitting after April. So it could have been something to do with it. Who knows? We don't know.
Yeah, John Heyman did an article back in, like, early May where he's like, Mark Reynolds is an early contender for AL MVP.
This obviously includes some Yankee games now, so whatever. But 81 WRC plus at home and 103 WRC plus away.
Not good.
All right.
Not good.
Nope.
But one thing I liked... I think Ken Singleton tweeted, which made you think, too. With all these people the Yankees have got, you know, Soriano, Granderson, A-Rod, Reynolds, gotten them back, it actually gives the Yankees a bench.
Yeah. I mean, earlier their bench was what? Luis Cruz, Alberto Gonzalez, and Austin Romine when he
it
wasn't
hurts.
Hitting at all.
It hurts when you say these things. But
rest
yeah, no,
in peace, Luis Cruz.
Aww.
Sad.
Jason Nix.
No,
he's
not,
broken.
Not sad.
Rest in peace, Jason Nix. Does anybody know how Starling's taking it?
I don't know. I don't listen to the radio.
One day at a time?
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Very hard to lose someone you love so much.
Yeah, but that's probably the season for Nix.
Oh, it is.
Oh, yeah, no, that's he's done. I mean, look how long Granderson was out for his injury.
Jeez.
I mean, again, Nix isn't, like, the absolute worst bench player just because he's versatile, but he's playing far too much.
Yeah. Well,
he's not an everyday, but he's a utility backup. That's Nix's role in life.
Yeah. And he's fine at that. It's just
he's a superior Clay Bellinger at that.
I wouldn't want him on my team, but...
If we could find a superior utility backup infielder, absolutely. Dump Nix like it's going out of style. But, you know, for what he was serviceable.
Just not playing every day.
Yeah, no, he's just not an everyday... He's not an everyday player.
His sub-70 WRC+.
Except when he muscled up, hit that home run in the doubleheader.
That was just the weirdest day. I mean, I was really happy I got the Nova recap, and... I had to write about Chris Stewart hitting a home run, and, like, my fingers kind of, like, shook a bit, because it wasn't quite sure what it was typing.
I think Chris Stewart wasn't quite sure how he hit a home run. Like, they showed him right after he hit
He, like, hesitated, like,
what do I do?
Wait, that's going over the wall. Oh, my God!
What do I do after things? It goes over the wall? Is that a play? What do you do?
First base coach yelling, touch all the bases! Touch all the bases!
Touch them all, Chris. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
And he runs around and he holds the base in his hand and collects them.
Hugs it. Yeah. I mean, totally called that one, too.
Should probably give a podcast shout-out to Ichiro, too, for his 4,000th combined hit. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Milestones.
Yeah.
Good for
I mean,
him.
We can banter all we want about whether or not we consider the hits in Japan legitimate or not. I mean, they're not the same as major league hits, but it's still an opportunity to celebrate a really fantastic career. So, you know, props.
All the props.
Yep.
This is the way they're going to celebrate 4,000 international hits. What are they going to do when he hits 3,000?
Then Michael Kay will go into histrionics again. That's how they'll celebrate.
I'm sure.
But, oh yeah, props to Ichiro. Good for him. Again, he needs to be out in the outfield almost all the time. While his hitting is streaky sometimes, or just not good, or whatever, his defense is not Wells.
I mean,
so.
It's getting a little bit more crowded these days, though, with Gardner, Soriano, and Granderson now. So they have to, like, find some weird rotation with DH. I think they've been kind of alternating Soriano and Granderson at DH, and pretty much only using Wells against lefties. So I guess that's the best way to deploy Wells, even if Wells probably really shouldn't even be on the team, but, you know.
If you're going to have him on the team and you're going to play him ever, then it needs to be against lefties. And
yeah, it's just disappointing when they sit Ichiro, because Ichiro has been really hitting lefties hard this year, and it's just like, okay, now you're going to sit him. What?
Yeah, I wish they used Vernon at first base more.
Maybe they were horrified by it or something. I don't know.
Well, now that they have Reynolds for first base against lefties, kind of don't need to.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I mean,
it's going to be weird the next few games until they can get Jeter back. And hopefully when Jeter comes back, they don't rush him again. But I'm scared that they will, since they have no shortstop, really, after Nunez.
Nunez! Whee!
If we're really lucky, Nunez will break something tomorrow, and then we'll have Vernon Wells at shortstop.
Robinson Cano.
That's the darkest shit you've ever said on this podcast.
Because?
No, they would move Cano to short and put Wells at second.
Or Soriano at second.
What are we talking about?
Or Soriano at second.
Nunez to step up, and all he does is get hurt and suck. I don't like Nunez. I'm going to say it. I don't like him. I think he's a bad player.
I'll give Nunez credit for getting the big single today, though, on a pitch that was, like, in Queens.
Yeah.
When do we think Derek Jeter is coming back? Do you think he'll probably come back in the series after the Tampa one?
Yeah, I would guess so.
Most likely. I personally don't want Jeter anywhere near that awful turf in that awful stadium.
That's a good point.
I don't even want DHing.
No, I don't want him anywhere near that.
But don't they go up to Toronto the next series?
Son of a bitch.
DH him. Don't play him at shortstop until you're back on grass.
No, I didn't want him running on that turf. I said bring him back after the Toronto series. Give him time. Give him time to heal.
That would be basically like, what, like 15 games left in the season?
There you go. Bring him back in Baltimore. Jeter can knock a few dingers in Camden. Eat it, SK! Anyway.
Oh,
Oh, yeah. Podcast wars going on. We're throwing down.
All right, anyway.
But back with Jeter, yeah. No, I'd bring him back. I would bring him back after the turf wars. I'm happy we're playing Toronto again so soon. Anyone else?
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Yep.
All right. Speaking of exciting, Greg Bird.
Greg Bird is supremely exciting.
I enjoy his on-base percentage and his slugging percentage and together in his OPS.
All right.
He is the man of my dreams.
That will always be Brett Gardner for me. But Greg Bird is a close second because he does share the Greg name, which is why I'm rooting for him selfishly. So I can get a Greg Bird jersey.
I saw him first, and you can all back off.
Okay, fun question. What number do you think Greg Bird will take when he comes up?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
He should take 0 so it can be like a bird egg.
Ooh.
I like that.
You've thought about this. Bravo.
Be like a baby bird.
Do we have anything else? Should we go to the tweet bag?
I think it's time for the tweet bag.
What about Tanaka?
Tanaka is discussed in the tweet bag.
Okay.
Inside it.
Let's dive into the tweet bag.
All right, so, yes, it's tweet bag.
Head first into the tweet bag.
DuckTales.
Woohoo!
Every day we're tweet bagging with DuckTales. Woohoo!
Okay. How long of a leash should CC Sabathia be given? His peripherals have sharply declined for 2 consecutive seasons.
Well, they're not going to start anyone else in place of CC, so.
But to say, there's not really an argument there.
There's no one to start. There's no one there.
The leash should be until he doesn't have arms.
Yeah.
I guess at that point you can pull him out of the rotation.
Until he's physically unable to pitch, he's not being put on a leash at all.
I mean, even in the worst case scenario where he just is totally bad, they're kind of stuck with this contract, so it's going to be like a Barry Zito Giants type agreement where it's like, well, we kind of have to start you. So.
Next question.
If you could only retain one, which would it be? Cashman or Girardi?
Cashman.
Yeah, Cashman.
Cashman all the way.
Cashman.
Managers are pretty interchangeable.
It's not that I don't like Joe Girardi, because I actually do like Joe Girardi, except when he does things I don't like, but...
I dislike him.
Didn't you hear him calling out Boston fans?
Yeah, that was nice, but I still dislike him.
There's not as much wrong with him as there could be wrong with the manager, which is a win.
Yeah. that's my point, really. That's exactly my point. Yeah, Joe Girardi.
I know he could be a lot worse. I know.
He could be Mike Scioscia.
Oh, my God.
See?
He could be Ron Washington.
Yeah.
He could be Clint Hurdle.
So, I mean...
Oh, God.
I mean, so it's...
Manager of the Year.
Yeah, isn't that going to be sad? He's not a good manager at all, but he's going to win Manager of the Year.
Yeah, like, I was saying this the other day, like, does suddenly the Pirates being good erase all those seasons where he was on the Rockies and the team was terrible?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because the manager gets credit for them being good.
Let's go Bucks.
Let's go Bucks. And give Clint Hurdle the award. The Manager of the Year award is basically the manager with the best team award that no one saw coming.
Yeah, exactly. It's the manager of the best team that you didn't expect to be good.
Yep.
No, I disagree with that because Joe Girardi won Manager of the Year for the Marlins and they weren't good.
But were they better than people expected?
I don't think so.
Well, yeah, I mean, they almost finished at 500, and people thought they were going to lose 100 games.
Yeah, you just have to be better than people think you're going to be.
Listen, Donnie Baseball deserves Manager of the Year, because he was almost fired. And because he just deserves it, because he's Donnie Baseball,
but
I'm a Yankee fan, and I love
it. If he won it, he should, like, hand it directly to Puig, like...
Fine.
Like, thank you, Puig.
Thank you, Puig.
That'll do, Puig.
But back to Girardi...
As an opposite, the anti-manager of the year award should go to Mike Scioscia because everyone thought the Angels were going to be really good, and they're really bad.
Or John Gibbons.
Well, he's like rage waddling somewhere right now. So.
Thank you for that, Joe Flynn.
Rage waddle.
Rage waddle.
John Gibbons could get the anti-manager of the year too.
Who the hell is John Gibbons?
The
Blue Jays manager.
Blue Jays manager.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
I don't know. I didn't think he was going to... I did not think the Blue Jays were going to do all that well.
Oh, I didn't either, but a lot of people said that they
Yeah, they were picked as like...
Well, I didn't think they'd be this bad.
So what you're saying is...
They have exceeded your expectations the other way. Like, you thought they wouldn't be very good, but they are somehow even worse than that.
Exceeded?
Yes.
But yeah, no, they can replace Girardi with Tony Pena, and I'd be fine. But if this year's proves any... If the Yankees do make the playoffs this year, Cashman deserves a raise for patching together this broken, battered, beaten team, and them actually making the playoffs is just being incredible. So, all right, next tweet bag.
Should the Yankees sign Tanaka? If so, for how long? Is he a big risk? Well, yeah. He's a big risk, but so is every player that you sign to a big contract.
So is CC Sabathia when we signed him. So, I mean, things happen.
I think they should make a play toward Tanaka because he's supposed to be ridiculously good in Japan. He's having a phenomenal season. He's been good for a while. He's only like 24, 25 years old. And there's not going to be any big starting pitchers hitting the market, really. Because the biggest name in the market this year is Garza. And he's past his peak. So, no. To get Tanaka.
They said he has like Kuroda-like stuff. And, well, we've seen... I like Kuroda-like stuff.
Yeah. And this is a guy who's Kuroda 10 years younger.
His numbers kind of, I guess, somewhat compare to Yu Darvish, but I don't think his stuff is going to play the same way as...
No, he's probably not as good as
Darvish.
They're,
like, different pitchers, but, like, I mean, their numbers are kind of similar, or at least they were when I looked at them, like, months ago.
Months ago.
So, you know, the talent is there. Like, he seems to be a legitimately good pitcher, as much as you can quantify from, you know, league to league.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Yankees really desperately need to start tapping into different markets because
Have to get creative because their old avenues bringing in people have gone dry.
For sure, it's not coming to them at 30.
No,
it's not happening.
No, the Dodgers will extend him.
He will
be
a Dodger forever till he's 50, and then the Yankees will sign him. But yeah, the Yankees are going to need to start looking at new avenues, whether it's Jose Abreu or the Tanaka. You know, they have to go outside somewhere and find something that, you know, will at least give them some hope for the future. You know, look what the Cubs did with their international signing. They, like, signed everyone across the board. They took penalties, and they don't even care. They like, signed, I think, the top international player.
They got Solar, right? Solar.
They got Solar last year or the year before. They got Jimenez, I want to say. I could be making that up. I don't know. The top international free agents, they signed like a bunch of people. They traded for money just to sign more people. And I'm not saying go that crazy because that's a little nuts. But you need to start looking around. Like, you know, I know they have international free agent signings from like Venezuela and Mexico. You know, with Manny Benuelos and Jesus Montero. But, like, you know, clubs are signing people from Cuba. They're coming away with, you know, Cespedes and Puig and Darvish. And I'm not saying that, like, we're going to find that, but we need to start looking.
Well, I mean, you know, these big names are kind of hitting the market. Darvish, Cespedes, Puig. And the Yankees really haven't made a big... I mean, the last one that they really even made what is rumored to be a big play for was Solar.
Yeah,
was that rumored? I didn't really hear that.
He took, like, a comparable contract from the Cubs.
Hmm.
I mean, they really need to kind of throw their hat into the ring, but more than just throw their hat into the ring, they need to, like, be serious about it. And
they need to throw their wallet into the ring.
It's a risk. It's definitely a risk. And I know that they have been hesitant to do that after the Ogawa.
But yeah, but the thing is that this guy is a lot better than Ogawa was in Japan.
Sure, but...
Well, I mean, I know...
You know, the Yankees are kind of stingy with their pockets lately.
And it's not like this counts towards the luxury tax, right? I mean, if we throw lots of Yankee dollars
The posting fee doesn't. If they sign him, it will count toward the
retires.
Well, right. I meant just talking about the, you know, the posting fee.
Well, I guess, I mean, in my opinion, it's less about losing posting fee money and more about signing him to a 7-year contract and having him be the next Scranton Wins leader.
Well,
hey, Scranton needs a Wins leader too.
Well, I don't think it's, I don't think it would take a deal that enormous. Darvish's deal when he signed it was 5 years and $50 million. So, I think they could.
Yeah, it's not.
I think they could probably get Tanaka for something around that, and that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
It'd probably be less. Honestly.
Yeah, it'd be less than that. Because Tanaka's not Darvish, but Tanaka's really.
They need to go for it. Like they don't have anybody on their. They look at their projected rotation for next year. They don't have anybody.
I mean, and there's nobody waiting. I mean, Matt from Tommy John, Dylan is now a reliever. So Brett Marshall,
Jose Ramirez,
Adam Warren, Caleb Cottom,
Greg Bird,
Jose Ramirez,
Greg Bird, probably pitch.
Jose Ramirez, but he's been having control problems in AAA. So.
Yeah. So I mean,
who knows how far off is Campos? I mean,
forever. He's God. He's in low A on an innings limit, so.
Yeah.
He's basically pitched like half a season.
Yeah.
So the second part of the question, how long would you sign him for if we did get Tanaka?
I mean, I'd be willing to go as many years as Darvish got, maybe not as much money.
Yeah.
Preferably like 4 years, maybe.
I would say, I think 4 years would be good.
I would go 5 years if he's 25.
You're crazy.
I know. Same.
Yeah, I probably would go 5 years.
Fine.
I mean, the Yankees have nothing in the works.
All right. It's not... Okay, it's bleak.
It's bleak.
It's real bleak. And I mean, you know, 5 years of, you know, him with CeCe for a while and...
Nova.
Hopefully Nova and hopefully Manban once he's better. Oh, I mean,
hopefully
Pineda's
not dead
bad.
Either.
Hopefully Pineda. I mean, that's not a bad rotation.
Yeah. All right, next tweet bag.
Who is more valuable to the team, A-Rod or Soriano? Well, in terms of, like, actual value, probably Soriano.
I don't know. I'm going to have to go A-Rod because, again,
is value, so... If you're talking like bang for your buck, you're getting more.
If we're going price value, yes, Soriano. Yeah. If we're going like player value, we don't have a third baseman, and we haven't had one all year. So A-Rod being at third helps.
Yeah, they definitely bring in different types of value for different things. You know, you definitely needed like, you know, we were talking about before he even came back. If he was like half A-Rod, he would be very valuable because they have nobody to play third base. No, and he's been pretty good. You know, yeah, Soriano's been phenomenal. But, you know, at the same time, he's an outfielder. We already had an abundance. You know, it's kind of no clear cut, you know, player A is more valuable than player B because, you know, it depends on what your criteria is. Like, I think everybody on the planet is probably more dollar value than Alex Rodriguez.
I'm gonna say to this lineup, I would say Soriano's more important since he seems to have a bit more power right now than A-Rod. But it's not clear either way.
Alright.
I think that Soriano has been more valuable since coming back than A-Rod just because of how well he's been hitting. I mean, he's almost single-handedly won quite a few games.
Yes.
Yes, we know about the tweet. Clutch dongs.
Next question. Will Kuroda accept a qualifying offer, or will he demand more money?
Doesn't matter, sign him.
They're going to sign him to a contract.
I don't care what.
It'll probably be around $15 million.
He's not going to accept a qualifying offer, I don't think.
That'll be like
he didn't last year, so I don't think he would this year.
Yeah.
Sign him.
They're just going to sign him to a $15 million. The old Pettit contract.
Just go ahead, hope that he accepts the same deal that he accepted this year. And if he wants a little bit more money, give him more money. I mean, because he's probably going to only ask for a year, because it seems like the way he wants to do it is play it year to year, kind of like what Mariano Rivera has been doing the past couple years. So he has the freedom to up and retire if he wants. And they just have to hope that he doesn't, or that he doesn't flee to the Dodgers or someone else.
If that's the case, definitely go after Tanaka.
Well, the thing was, I recently heard that someone talked to Kuroda, and Kuroda said that, like, there was some weird misconception that he was like, you know, it was either the Yankees or going back to Japan. Like, he had nothing really in plan. Like, you know, if it happened, it happened. But, like, he wasn't, like, imminently thinking about going to Japan. So I think he wants to pitch here. I think he wants to stay here.
He does.
And I think he would, like, you know, how much more money could he ask for? You know, he's making, how much money is he making now? $15 million, $14 million, something like that. Like, it can't be any more than, like, $18 million.
Yeah, he's making $15 million this year. So, you know, if he wants 1 year, $18 million, give it to him. It's 1 year.
Yeah.
Plus, if he's anything even close to how good he... If he's even just as good as he was last year, that's great.
Yep.
Bring him back, Roque.
Sign him up. Next.
Should the Yankees cut ties with Phil Hughes, try to get someone good for him, or keep him?
Like, right now?
I guess so.
I mean,
they're not going to do anything with him.
Yeah. They'll keep him till he goes on free agency and someone will pay
they're
him.
They're probably not going to get anything from him because they can't risk giving him a qualifying offer. Way to go, Hughes.
You piece of shit.
I think he'd decline a qualifying offer because I think he'd, you know, obviously play the field and try to get a better deal.
Well, remember that thing where he said he would sign as a reliever too?
Yeah, and then he clarified that he still wants to be a starter. I think it was just either he's stupid and said something weird, or he just didn't understand what was going on, or they took it out of context or something. But yeah, he's going to be a starter. Like, I don't know what that whole, like, I signed as a reliever thing. I don't know what that was. Or maybe he changed his mind after everyone was like, oh my god, he's going to be a reliever. It's like, wait, no. I swear, guys, give me money.
Yeah, they're going to have a tough decision whether or not they want to risk giving him a qualifying offer. It could really go either way, whether Hughes accepts it or not. Because I do agree that there is a chance that he might be able to get a better deal somewhere. But... Do the Yankees want to risk like him possibly accepting the qualifying offer? I don't know.
Tough call.
Not my call. Make the right call, Cashman.
Well, could they do like a handshake agreement where it's just like, we're going to give you this thing, but you can't accept it, like they did with what's his face?
Swisher?
No, that other guy, the pitcher that no one likes.
That doesn't narrow it down.
Come on. It was his second year, his second time back here. From, like, 2011?
Sergio Mitre?
No. He was on the team in, like, 2000.
Javi Vasquez.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot he was on the team.
There it is. Twice. Yeah. Like he was terrible, and they offered him arbitration, and he agreed to decline it.
Yeah, that's true. They could do something like that.
I don't know if that still works in the new system. I don't know how it works, but
I'm sure there are still under the table agreements. Like, I won't accept it, guys. Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Yes, I did.
You're stuck with me.
Joke's on you.
Hughes, ace of 2014 rotation.
I had my fingers crossed.
Gotcha.
Oh, Hughes, you're so silly. Anyway.
The Yankees obviously need to improve the rotation. Who would be a good fit for the team? CC Hughes and sometimes Pettit don't cut it.
They're not going to improve their. They're not going to improve the rotation at this point.
Exactly. it's not happening. So. All
right. Next question.
Is Austin Romine's recent offensive production for real? Is the sample size too small? I mean, is he as good as he is over, like, a tiny sample size? No.
Yeah. He's Austin Romine.
Is he better than Chris Stewart? Yes.
And that's not saying much.
It's not.
He's better. He's a better hitter than the guy that was showing up for the first half, and he's obviously not as good a hitter as the guy who's hitting 382 in the second half. So,
Austin Romine is most likely a career backup.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
He could be the next Cervelli.
Hopefully with biogenesis and fewer injuries.
But yeah, so, I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. Austin Romine is who he is, so.
Yep, okay.
And that is it.
All right, so, just to finish things off, it's time for our Yankee and our Mitre of the Week. Waffles, Yankee of the Week.
Soriano. Just okay.
Legit choice. Jason.
Cano.
Yeah, he's one. Yeah, pretty good. Andrew?
We'll go with Granderson. Got a homer.
All right, all right. I'm actually, you know, I could give it to Gardner, because, again, Gardner's Gardner. But I'm going to give a little shout-out to Ichiro for his 4,000th hit. He will be my Yankee of the Week this week. Good for him.
I was about to say David Robertson should get an honorable mention as a Yankee of
the Week. Yeah, he's been great.
Definitely.
Yep.
Definitely.
Love him.
Mitre of the Week, Waffles, go.
Sean Kelly.
Ooh.
He looked like crap.
All right. Jason.
Adam Warren.
Dislike.
All right. He has a 5.40 ERA this week.
He's been worse than Preston Claiborne.
Andrew.
Take the easy way out. Go Jabba. He couldn't save Rivera from appearing in the first game of that doubleheader.
Do you know what's beautiful? He has one inning pitch this week, a 0 ERA, and a 4 whip.
Jabba?
Yeah.
No.
4 whip.
I'm looking at the stats. Jabba has a 6.75 ERA in the past week.
Oh, this must not be updated then. Whatever.
Update their stats.
Letting me down, Yankees.com.
All right. No, that Jabba was actually going to be my choice.
You can pile on Jabba if you want.
It really, I mean, seriously, he like you said, he couldn't close that damn. He's so bad.
He's so bad. There's literally no reason for him to be on this team.
No.
At all.
No, yeah, I can't think of a Yankee I've disliked more this week than Jabba Chamberlain, so Jabba also.
This week?
Week?
This
I'm
season.
Just talking about Mitre Yankee of the Week. In terms of this week of Yankee and Mitres, he has been like quadruple Mitre.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
I trade Jabba Chamberlain for Sergio Mitre and consider it a win.
I trade Jabba Chamberlain for a bottle of lemonade.
A bottle of lemonade.
Lemonade's probably too classy for it.
And like Minute Maid lemonade too, not like good shit.
Whoa. A bottle of it.
Yes. Just so I could pour it on the floor.
But then the floor's gonna get sticky. You're gonna have a sticky floor.
That's still better than Jabba.
Still better than Jabba. That's right.
Jabba, you are worse than walking on a sticky floor. The squeak that your shoes make. You're worse than that.
You're worse than the floor in a movie theater.
Ouch.
We really piled on Jabba for our Mitre of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
As I said, quadruple Mitre for Jabba.
Super Mitre.
Super Mitre. All right. Well, that kind of wraps it up for us. You know, we've Mitre'd Jabba to the point of sticky floredom. Yeah, so, hey, we're on Twitter. As always, we love your tweet bag questions, so you can tweet us at Pinstripe Bible. Again, there is no D. Or you can post on our fabulous website, Pinstripe Alley or PinstripedBible.com. Both
will
get you there.
David Cohn approved.
Which is David Cohn approved. It's
think
one of his
Kickstarter to get some D.
Okay.
You need a D for the Twitter.
But once we get back to Pinstripe Alley, we won't need a D.
Well, it'll just be extra D for, you know, lying around. It's like, you know, rainy day D. You need a rainy day.
We could use some rainy day D, yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Mother of God.
All right. Also, you can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Just search for Pinstripe Alley Podcast. You know, if you want some rainy day D.
Exactly.
Exactly. We're on Facebook, too. Something. I'll post there if you want. So, for Anya, Jason, and Andrew, I'm Greg Kirkland. I'm giving you a raise. And this podcast, like our blog, is David Cohn approved.